Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Welcome each and every one of you for joining me for tonight's show, whether you're calling us via phone or you're online listening. We thank you, and we appreciate you for listening in. And this is our 1,090th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And, boy, we're knocking them down, 1,090. All right, and so let's get started. Tonight's show is Life is Heavy as a Mountain, Death is Light as a Feather. And before I get any further, I just want to just go ahead and give out, because this show is about life and death, I want to give out the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number. And that number is 1-800-273-8255. They also have live chats where you can simply talk to someone, and that chat line is open 24/7. So we're going to be going over a couple of scriptures tonight. The first one we're going to be going over is Proverbs chapter 18, verses 19 and 21. Also, we're going to go over Deuteronomy chapter 30, 14 and 20. Proverbs in your spare time, I do advise that you read Proverbs chapter 18 in its entirety. It's a pretty profound scripture to read, as of all of the entire book of Proverbs. That is a pretty enlightening book in the Bible. It pretty much is an enlightening, book of scriptures. It's pretty profound, and it also gives you balance and enlightenment in life. Now, basically, with the whole thing of life and death, basically, we give power to things that we don't need to give power to. We give power to things that don't need to control us as far as us spiritually and mentally. And when we do things of that nature, we actually are just creating an atmosphere where we go uphill. That's one of the reasons why I had the title "Life is Heavy as a Mountain, Death is Light as a Feather." Because it seems as you weigh your options, it seems it's so hard to live, but it's easy to die. And there is, when I put it that way, it is truth to that, because of the way we live our lives. Some are preventable, some are unpreventable. And yes, if we could live life easier, we could, but sometimes the curiosity of doing things to our will, it actually creates the atmosphere where we're going in an uphill battle. And the reason why I say that, when we would expect to have a life more abundant, some of us think in the nature of what we think, and we're thinking, let's take the money for our mortgage and gamble it and see if we can double or triple or even become a millionaire, things of that nature. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to go on to our first chapter of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, like I said, this is one of the most profound books of the Bible. All right, so we're going to go ahead and first we're going to read Proverbs, and we're going to go from the 19th verse to 21st verse. So the 19th verse is, do a favor and win a friend forever. Nothing can untie that bond. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as good harvest. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. That's Proverbs chapter 18, and it's verse 19 to 21. All right, and we're just going to go ahead and get into the main part and of as we read Proverbs, I'm just going to go ahead and basically when we feel uneasy, amongst ourselves, it's because it's usually an argument. You know, we sometimes say that a man has to eat his words. You know, if they've been good words, you know, they will be satisfying to him and to other people. Basically, gossip is another one that is what pushes wedges into relationships of people. You know, gossip is more deadly than it's deadlier than a bomb sometimes, the way gossip spread and the way they twist and they turn words around, and they also aggravate, you know, those that I talked about, that main portion of gossip, where it is mainly hurtful to the person it's about. There's none hurtful, and then you have people, when the gossip spread, they create an add-on. They add on more, you know, to what was said before, which is unfair to whoever's talked about, and it's unfair to, you know, people that are actual, you know, friends or whatever, because they know that the gossip is being spread is sort of hurtful. You know, when you have hurtful words being spread about you, you know, I know I've said in the past that, you know, we all, you know, give them thrown on us. Sometimes there are some elements and some things that get on and on, whereas though, it's enough is enough, and sometimes people will and have been fed up. You know, basically, life and death is governed by the tongue. I know you've heard that. You know, the tongue has great potential for good or evil. You know, those who love to use it, you know, they have to be prepared to take the consequences. When used properly, the tongue can be, it can mend fences, it can heal broken hearts, and it can even encourage, you know, others, you know, especially those who are in need of courage. You know, and there was, you know, back in the days where generals, and the reason why generals were placed in charge of the army, because not only were they had good minds, but they also had the right touch with words. You know, you're talking to men that had to, you know, that's going to be potentially dead, you know, after they go into battle, not knowing if they're going to survive. A general, one of the things that great generals were able to do, when they were able to encourage the soldiers, not only under them, but, you know, everyone knew that the general was one of the most important pieces on the battlefield. And, you know, not unless things got very dire, that he wasn't going to participate in battle. But what he would do is he would inspire, and he would, you know, march all the way up until, you know, to the battlefield, you know, and giving these guys consistent words of encouragement. Not, you know, encouraging enough where he would just let them know, basically just, you know, be a blanket speech, but with their own words, they would basically just let these men know that ultimately, you know, if you work together with a fellow soldier, you know, you could make it through, and, you know, and we'll all come back home, or something of that nature. You know, and that was the purpose of having generals. You know, not just because of their mind, but because of the way they inspired the men that were under them. And that basically happens to us. You know, we have to have that general or someone in charge where, you know, they can give us those inspiring words to encourage us to go ahead out and take that leap of faith where we were to go out and go ahead and perform whatever task or whatever whatever duties we need to make, or, you know, or make, or the hard choices that we have to make. You know, we don't forget we constantly, consistently are up against hard choices that we have to make. Sometimes we have to sacrifice some things. Sometimes we have to give up some things. And sometimes, you know, in order to attain certain goals, we have to let things go. And that's basically, you know, how we deal with things. And with the power of life and death, you know, it's basically, you know, it comes from the tongue. And, you know, if, you know, you can imagine if it, that same general was somebody who just didn't have a way with words, didn't have a way of motivating men, you can probably predict what was going to happen on that particular battlefield. You know, from top to bottom, you know, when you, one of the things you look for a leader, you look for inspirations in all different type of ways. And we do that too with our pastors and our reverends. If you want to call in, if you're online, let me just give you the phone number to call in. I'll also give you that National Suicide Prevention Hotline number. Phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. If you're a T-Mobile or Metro customer, you can call in at 323-870-4174. Anytime you want to speak, you can just hit the number 1. Also, the number to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. And just getting back on our topic, and, you know, I've said before that, you know, I love a lot of scriptures and proverbs, and so I'm going to go over some of the scriptures and proverbs. You know, the power of life and death is governed by the tongue, and we were going to go over just a couple of scriptures that I found in Proverbs that mention the tongue. All right, and so the first one is going to be Proverbs 10, verses 20. The tongue of the just is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Okay, and then also I got Proverbs 31, verses 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And also I got Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And also I found, not in Proverbs, but it was in James, which is James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And, you know, I know you probably heard the phrase that, you know, words sometimes can hit harder than a fist. And that verse reminds me of that exact saying, that words can hit harder than a fist. When we go in, examine, you know, basically Proverbs 18, 19, and 21, and don't forget, we went over that, but when you get a chance, just read the whole entire chapter of Proverbs 18. It's really good. If we have time, we'll go ahead and we'll read the whole entire chapter. But for right now, we're just going to just focus on 19 and 21. And, excuse me. And, you know, within 19 and verse 21, it just really encourages you, basically, the apply life applications with the tongue. You know, how you can do it properly, how you can basically how it's be treated how you want to be treated. I mean, well, treat others how you want to be treated. And the application of, you know, of those verses is so important, because we sometimes forget that, you know, the way we treat others is not the way we actually want to be treated. And when we do that, we also should just reflect that, hey, you know, just because I've made a mistake, it does not mean, or I've said things, you know, it's true, words, you know, words are spoken, they can't be taken back, but you can also profess, you know, that, hey, I'm truly sorry, you know. And of course, you know, the hardest part is saying I didn't mean to say it, but someone would say, well, counter that with, why did you say it? Out of frustration. out of frustration, we do a lot of things out of frustration. The words we say to each other, yes, it's harmful, hurtful. Can we take them back? No, we can't take the words back, but we can back those words up with our actions. If we were truly sorry that we've done something, we would definitely demonstrate it. And that's, you know, the power of our words when we basically, when we engage in warfare with one another, basically warfare with words, where, yes, it seems like you'll get a bigger reaction than saying, you know, something really egregious or, outrageous about someone, and you'll get a better reaction almost as hard as, somebody receiving a slap to the face. That, that in itself, it can be aggravating, because especially during over social media where, you know, it's something that you're actually reading, and you can probably read it over and over again, and people are, you know, replying to it and commenting and sharing it. You know, it's awful hard to, you know, come back from something that you wish to take back in that fashion. Because and when you do something like that in that fashion, it's kind of hard to give out an apology once so many people have read it and commented. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, and not an easy thing to come back from once something like that happens. The path we choose in our life, you know, makes it a heavy burden. You know, I've in the recent months, as far back as a year, been reading that from different ages, from young to old, where they have chose the path of committing suicide. Suicide as a choice, you know, for me, is not an option. For other people, and how did they get to that point? I believe it's at a point where they felt as though they had no one to turn to, that they, after a certain point, wished to not continue. And that could be understanding, because I can remember a lot of times I was in tight spots where I had little money to work with. I had almost no money, had bunches of unpaid bills, threatening with, shut off notice, threatening with, repossessions, foreclosures. When you get to that point, it seems that it's insurmountable, and it seems that it is such a hard burden to, to overcome. Once we find ourselves in certain positions, and the first part is, can you talk about it, to someone? I know when I was in positions with repossessions and, faced with foreclosures, I felt as though I couldn't talk to anyone, because I felt as though that when someone needed, money or something, they would come to me. And what I realized is that when I was faced to, certain dilemmas and certain problems where I was looking for someone to turn to, and I didn't have that person. And it was kind of hard, eventually, through due diligence and, perseverance, sometimes you can find, someone. Maybe it might be somewhere where you never expected to turn, whereas, sometimes it was, an in-law and, other people. Sometimes it was friends. But when you're, like I said, when you're in facing, it seems like, insurmountable odds, when you keep it shut up and bottled in, it's not going to do you any good. It's going to actually cause, a self-destruction mechanism inside you, whereas though you feel as though everything is hopeless and everything is lost. Certainly in life, the only reset button is suicide, which, in itself, it should not be, like I said, I've chosen it not to be an option, just to some people. It's, they feel the same way. I mean, we all read the Bible, we all know that you know, suicide is not the option that we, you know, that Christ wants us to choose. You know, when he sent his son on the cross to die for our sins, you know, that's also for, you know, the sins that we think that we have committed, or the ones that we think that we're approaching. You know, he died for that also. You know, we have to make sure that we take our time and our due diligence, where we make sure that we do not only that self-examination where we're just trying to send a wrecking ball through our life. No, it's like reconstruction. You know, sometimes we have to reconstruct, and we have to choose different avenues that we're going down to. We have to maybe just make a whole different choice, you know, and that's one of the great things about, you know, having good friends and good family members around you, where anytime you seem to be going way off of the long beaten path or path that you set out for, you know, you've mentioned, you know, to your friends and family, you know, your desires, your wants, and what you're trying to do. You know, a lot of times, if we don't have that good family and friends in place, sometimes just we do go off the beaten path, basically. And with that being said, we're going to agree going to I'm going to go over Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14-20. I'll give you a chance to go ahead and get that. And while I'm doing that, I also have to get my Bible also. The numbers to call in for tonight is 319-527-6091. Also, if you're a T-Mobile Metro customer, phone number to call in is 323-870-4174. Anytime you want to join the conversation, you can press the number 1. And we're going to go and go ahead and go over Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 20. Now, I've chose this chapter right here because I've read it, and it's actually basically, you know, we have to choose. We have choices to make. So basically, I would choose life. You know, we make choices just about every day from the time we wake up. You know, we make the choice of what we're going to wear. You know, we sometimes, you know, we want to know, you know, what we're going, you know, not only what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. You know, we ultimately make a choice when we decide what kind of car we're going to drive. We have to understand, is, you know, are we going to get a Mercury, or are we going to get a Mercedes? You know, it depends. And you say, well, what is the pressure in that? Well, it's astronomical, because sometimes the Mercury, you can walk out without, you can buy that car, maybe an older model, but, you know, you own it, and you might have to do some work to it if you get a Mercedes. It's perfectly top of the line, all the luxuries, but you have high payments on it. You know, you may not have a lot of money to work with after you get that car. So we basically have choices. Some choices are very significant, and some insignificant. You know, the insignificant ones are what to eat, what to wear. You know, it doesn't. You know, the choices between that, you know, is not that great, not that significant. But when we start facing more challenging choices, like whether we do right or wrong, you know, that becomes in itself a task of deciding right or wrong. You know, a lot of choices we make, sometimes we deal with, you know, right then and there, and sometimes the choices that we make may have repercussions of where we go down the line, whereas though, you know, it's something that we've done or didn't do where it affects our future, you know, in some great ways. All right, and so basically I just want to go into Deuteronomy like I started, and basically Moses had come basically to the end of his life, And in Deuteronomy, he's basically preparing the people for, you know, the entrance into the promised land. And basically in his farewell, he challenged them to accept God's offer of life. You know, the choice, you know, he gives is a choice between life and good and death and evil. He tells them how to choose. He basically tells them how to choose life. He basically was letting them know, love God, you know, and that was, you know, and the other one was walk in God's way and to keep his laws. The result of this, God offers us life. God is our life. Joshua said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And, you know, that right there I thought was pretty good. So basically, you know, they will choose to love God, to walk in God's way and keep God's word. And basically, that was me just going over briefly Deuteronomy 14-16, and so I'm just going to focus on 17, and, you know, all right, so basically in 17, they will turn away from God, rebel against God, disobey God. This is the reason for the culture of death that is so prevalent in our country, and that goes on for, that goes into abortions. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about abortions, but, you know, with the event of abortions and the way they have created abortion, I know it could be a firestorm either way, you know, talking about abortion. But one of the things that the ability of, you know, the woman, as far as the one that's having the baby, is her ability to choose. Now, I know there are, depending on what person is speaking, they say there is no reason absolutely whatsoever for abortion. And that includes rape or deformities, or even if a doctor, you know, recommends the termination of life because of, you know, how hard it would be for, you know, a baby to live or whatever. So there are some people out there that just basically just determine through their own rules and their own eyesight of how they should use abortion. And, you know, under that, you know, that blanket statement of some people that will choose death, you know, there's also in that conversation suicide. You know, it also involves the worship of, you know, basically, you know, if you worship yourself and you worship other, you know, other gods, and that's basically choosing the way of death. And, you know, there's a way that seems right to people, but in the end, what you think is right is actually you're choosing death. And actually, you can go cover, you can follow that covered under, that I have in my notes, that's covered under Proverbs 16:25. So basically, when we go through Deuteronomy chapter 19 and 20, it's basically asking, what would you choose, life or death? Life or death, you know, and basically, Moses was pretty wise when he was, when he knew that he was, you know, his time was done. And basically Moses was letting them know that we're I'm challenging you, because even though, you know, we're not at the promised land, but when we get there, he's letting us know that we still have to uphold certain commandments because we would be punished beyond that. So he did warn them that, you know, there was repercussions, that, you know, if you serve, you know, so much, and then after a while, if you get lax, then yes, you know, we could still be punished. You know, you figure, you know, 40 years in the wilderness wasn't enough. You know, there was a guy that I know. I'm just he was a family member of my wife's, and he was notorious for stealing things, breaking in people's cars. I'm not sure if he broke into people's houses, but when you caught him, you know, when you would confirm, when you cornered, basically you had to corner the guy, and you beat the crap out of him. For, you know, first of all, you're angry, beat the crap out of him, and the next thing he says was, I don't think you should call the cops with me, or I don't think I should go to jail, or I don't owe you any money because you just, you know, you took it out, you know, you beat it, you know, when you beat me up, basically you said was that was payment, you know. And usually when he says something like that, you know, you're tired and winded from beating the crap out of him. You're like, what? You know, and that was something that came to mind. But yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, what one person thinks is justified is not satisfactory to the next person. And sure, you know, sure it's not satisfactory. Ways though, you think you have to corner somebody, and then you feel as though they feel as though that because you administer your justice, that was enough, or, you know, it's good enough, and you should leave me alone, or we're square even. But that was the nature of how he operated. Okay, and I guess I might be getting all a little bit off topic, but just get back to what Moses was basically letting the people know, was that through idolatry and through the way they didn't carry their faith, you know, they didn't take their faith, they took their faith lightly, basically what you're saying. But basically you're saying that from the time if you were introducing to a new idol or a new this or new that, that they would tend to easily flock to it. And that's basically what he was basically saying. In why we're parting. And not only is Moses, you know, just letting them know and like forewarning them, he's also letting them know, like, you know, you're gonna have a new leader too. It was like, you gotta pay, you know, listen to him. He's gonna also lead you. He's not gonna lead you the same way I did, but you need to listen to him. And as you know, people tend to do, they seem to after the wear of time, and no matter how profound words are, they tend to just, you know, gravitate to their own opinion, to their own interpretations. And that's where, you know, that's where we got where the Israelites, you know, basically when they, you know, they were punished as a nation. And they were basically punished as a nation because they didn't exactly do what they were supposed to do once they got to the promised land. For a great majority, you know, some did and others didn't. The ones that didn't, they were not, basically, they wasn't, you know, the words I'm looking for, they wasn't chastised for a sense of where there, it wasn't saying that, you know, hey, I'm going to cut you off, or, you know, I don't acknowledge or anything. They basically were free to just, you know, do what they want without anybody correcting them or any kind of repercussions or anybody saying, hey, you know, this is not what we're here for. This is not what you're supposed to do. So basically for them just standing by and allowing it to happen, you know, that's how the whole of the nation of Israel came into captivity and came into basically God's punishment for not keeping their promise. And I just want to quickly go back to while I have it handy. Proverbs 18, chapter 18. And Proverbs, like I said, I love reading Proverbs. It's pretty profound. And earlier we read Proverbs chapter 18, 19 and 21. But I do want to go over the whole chapter. And like I said, that if we have time, we're going to go over it. And so we're going to go over Proverbs chapter 18. And I'll give you a second to catch up there if you want to read with me. Okay, so we got Proverbs chapter 18. We'll go ahead and read it. Those who care only for themselves split on the common good. Fools care nothing for subtle discourse. All they do is run off at the mouth. When wickedness arrives, change is not far behind. Contempt for life is contemplatable. Many words rush along like rivers in flood, but deep wisdom flows up from artisan springs. It's not right to go easy on the guilty or come down hard on the innocent. The words of a fool starts fights. Do him a favor and gag him. Fools are undone by their big mouths. Their souls are crushed by their words. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do not really want junk like that in your body. Slack habits and sloppy words are as bad as vandalism. God's name is a place of protection. Good people can live there and be safe. The rich think their wealth protects them. They imagine themselves safe behind it. Pride first, then the crush, but humility is precursor to honor. Answering before listening is both stupid and greedy. A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. A gift gets attention. It buys the attention of eminent people. The first speech in a court case is always convincing until the cross-examination starts. You may have to draw straws when faced with a tough decision. Do a favor and win a friend forever. Nothing can untie that bond. Words satisfy the mind as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They either poison or fruit. You choose. Find a good spouse and you'll find a good life, and even more, the favor of God. The poor speak and solve supplications. The rich bark out answers. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. And that was Proverbs chapter 18. As I said, you know, I always find reading, you know, Proverbs just basically profound. It's pretty much enlightening. And sometimes just reading Proverbs, and sometimes I can just pick up any book in Proverbs and start reading and find some kind of enjoyment in that part. We're going to agree going to the call of salvation. Before I do that, I just want to make sure that I just want us to have, I just want you to understand that, you know, there is always a choice to make where you can have, you know, even if you don't have that person to talk to. As I said, you know, the number out there for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. That's a 24-hour hotline. I also have a chat. There's always someone there available. There's always options, you know. The option of ending one's life is one of the options that we should never really consider. But to some, you know, they wish to have an end to their suffering. And we all know that, you know, we can pick and choose some things, and that part is something that we just simply have no choice in how to end pain and suffering. You know, pain and suffering, basically, you know, when we look at it and examine it, sometimes we have placed ourselves there. Sometimes we're just totally uncontrollable circumstances and how we get there. But either way, you know, there's always a solution. And one of the solutions is, you know, choose God. You know, we have all kinds of resources. you know, except Jesus. And we'll just go ahead and, you know, since we're talking about that, we'll just go ahead and start the conversation with the call of salvation. And, you know, it's just an invitation of inviting Christ in your life. You know, one of the ways, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, but most people, when they seek him out and they, you know, and they get an understanding, is that they have to be at the last resort, the last, this is the last chance at claiming some kind of sanity, some kind of relief, or is this something in their life is just not working out? Well, you know what, that's the perfect time to invite Christ in your life, because guess what, even we have things going on pretty simple, and we invite Christ in our life, but guess what? A lot of times, total chaos just comes into life. So if you already have chaos and you already got things rolling around and you have no choice and you choose God, you know, guess what? If things were going on, it would be the same thing, because the devil will always try to attack us. He's going to always try to set the seed of discouragement, always try to make sure that he puts the blanket or the wool over our eyes where we can't see. So, you know, one of the things is you just want to be honest. You just want to let, you know, God know that, hey, Father God, I know that I messed up. I know it seems like every 24 more hours you give me, I continue to mess up. But this time I want you to, this next 24 hours, I just want to be sin-free. I just want to just wash away my sins. I just wish to change my life. I just, like, at this point, I wish to just change. I wish to make sure that from here on, that I live through you in Christ. I accept Christ. I accept Christ in my life. And, you know, once you said that, you know, you can just admit with your tongue and just let someone know that you accepted Jesus Christ in your life. And you accepted the gift that God gave us. You know, His only begotten Son. You know, His only begotten Son that died on the cross for us. He died for our sins. And with that, you just want to let him know that you accept the gift and that you were happy to have him accept you. And like I said, just tell someone, just text someone, call someone. Just basically let someone know that you've turned your life over to Christ. You know, once you did that by admitting with the tongue, then you're saved. And don't forget, you know, just try to find a Bible-believing teaching, preaching sanctuary to nurture the word of Christ. You know, it's so important to go ahead and go into study, into a Bible study, where you get to learn more and more about Christ and, you know, and how He's offering you salvation. And, you know, also as you learn, you know, you can share that gift with someone else. Invite them to change their life over to Christ. You know, we basically become new creatures, and also with that, we become missionaries. It's something for us not to be content with, and something for us not to just say, hey, you know, I'm saved. And at that point, not looking around at other people and see that, you know, you know, we're all among certain groups and certain cliques, and we know that, you know, at some point, you know, we always have a chance to reach back, and that's your way of reaching back and becoming, you know, a little, you know, a missionary and just sharing. And with that being said, I'll just go ahead and do the announcements. Okay, if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello and send a prayer request. We're glad to honor that. Also, we Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And also, we invite you to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can simply hit the show name or the host name, and you can hear that show in its entirety at your convenience. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Also, check out our 2018 End of the Year Revival with 7 Nights of Revival. You can also go on our social media page, and you can also look up the same thing. And also on Anchor.com and Anchor FM, I believe you can do the same thing. And we greatly appreciate doing so. Also, when God's blessing, we will join you at the 9 p.m. hour with Peripheral Visions, hosted by Sister Antonia Batts. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope for you to join us at the 9 p.m. hour for Peripheral Visions, and that's going to be hosted by Antonia Batts. And also, we appreciate all of our listeners, whether you're listening online, via phone, or via chat. We thank you so much for your support here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And with that being said, we're going to go back into our program. And basically, you know, I'm in a nutshell, I'm going over life and death and the choices that we can make. You know, when we feel as though that we're self, when I say you're self-satisfied, means a lot of people don't understand that when someone passes away, there are some certain burdens and some unanswered questions, especially when it comes to suicide. You know, one of the things is, you know, why? Why couldn't they come to me? Why couldn't they talk to me? You know, there is so many different unexplainable things that, you know, this basically can't happen when things end with suicide. When it ends with suicide, you know, it's always that question of why. Then it's the question of, could I have done something to prevent this? You know, there's so much into not just that person taking their life, and it's, you know, they couldn't take anything, even with a suicide note. It's still not explanation enough. How did it get so bad? How was it that bad? Or how was it that where you just couldn't take it anymore? You know, we can't always place ourselves in someone's shoes. But one thing that does happen is that we always do feel the loss when someone's no longer here. You know, we can't predict, you know, our time of death or anyone else's time of death. But one of the things that we do make sure that those that we do enjoy the company of and those that we do enjoy fellowshipping with, that we make sure that we let them know that we enjoy doing this, you know, that we enjoy the time that we have together. You know, it's not easy when it's just that that unfulfilled promise of, you know, the potential, you know, once someone has committed suicide. Even though we can't, you know, find what we're so uncomfortable with them in life, sometimes we can't find, you know, that comfort, you know, in ourselves that we were, you know, that we're not able to communicate or even just see anything was wrong. And that's the problem with, you know, how, you know, when the devil gets, you know, into your mental state where as though you can't turn anywhere. And that's just the spot he wants you to be in, where you can't seem to turn or go anywhere. I do, you know, understand that there are, you know, certain situations where, you know, people are in a great deal of pain, where they feel as though pain won't go away. But, you know, God is a healer. He's a healer. You know, I see so many things on TV how they so subtly try to get us away from what God does and how he does and how he handles things. You know, I just was looking at TV where they have these people, say, these debt consolidation people. You know, they say, hey, we can get you out of debt. And then they say, hey, in just 3 short years, we can get you right back in line. Really? God can do anything. God doesn't have to. He can do that overnight. If you trust and prayer in him, why would you trust someone that's going to take 3 years to get your credit repaired when you can just get on your knees and pray and God can do that overnight? Matter of fact, he can do it right before the prayer is over. You know, that's what those little subtle things that people do, where as though they feel as though that's that little wedge that starts easing you away from Christ. You know, and then there's the payday loans. You can have your paycheck before, you know, a week before you even get it. Well, you know, that's just another tactic, you know. You know, God tells us that, you know, patience is a virtue. You know, if we just don't have it at that time, we just don't have it. If we want to force things, then that's how we get into that culture of stealing money, robbing banks, robbing people. Where's wrong with a little patience? Why can't you wait? You've worked a week, so what makes you think you deserve a week in advance? You know, the payday loans, they are there to just drive that wedge between you and your job, and you feel as though you have a week's pay before you even worked it, and now you owe them a certain amount of percentage over it. And you feel as though, what am I working for? I'm working for these people. Well, how did that happen? Well, it happened because you were impatient. You know, there's so many different ways. And one of the ways is just that, I mean, if you just naturally meditate on it, you know, some of these schemes and some of the things out there, if you just naturally meditate on it, just think about it. You know, sometimes you don't have to make the decision now. You know, when you see those commercials, you know, one of the funny ones is that the lawyer one, where you've been slip, trip, fall, you've done this, you've done that, you know, scratched your nose or you did that. And it seems like they have this mentality that no matter what happens in your life, that they can actually get you money for it. And you think about it, if they're getting you money, what are they getting paid? Well, they're getting paid a great deal because they don't have nothing to do, so they feel as though they should put out there to do the public's notion. If you have a slip, trip, fall, you've been in an auto accident, they name just about everything. And they said, hey, you come to us, and guess what? You don't owe us any money unless we win the case. Wow. You know, but anyway, that's the way I see certain things. And I know there was a time that where, you know, certain things like lawyers were needed because there were people that were liable for your injuries, or they were liable for certain things, and they just found ways not to pay up. Well, now it's going on a little overboard to me, if you ask me. But that's neither here nor there, because I think talking about that is like way off topic from what I was doing. But I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. And like I said, for those that wasn't here, we were doing Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 and 21. We also read the whole entire Proverbs chapter 18, and I do encourage you to read chapter 18 again. Also, we were doing we're at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 20, and that's pretty much the verses that we were doing. Once again, I'll give her that number for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. Also, I'll give out our numbers in case you want to call in, which is 319-527-6091. And also, T-Mobile Metro customers, 323-870-4174. Anytime, you can hit the number 1. And I'm just wrapping up the show. It's been fun. I'll be on the air next month. I'll be there on the second Friday, and also in another 2 weeks I'll be on with the regular self-expression show. So don't forget, the second Friday of every month is going to be self-expression sports, and you know, just stay tuned, and we'll see you then as far as the sports side. Other than that, regular self-expressions, we'll be here another 2 weeks. With God's will and God's blessing. And I hope so far everyone's had a prosperous 2020. so far, it's been good for me and my family, and I greatly appreciate that. It's been fun. Enjoy doing this as always. I do appreciate all the listeners. I just thank you so much, whether you're online over your phone or in the chat room. I thank you so much for supporting me here and supporting Purpose Kingdom Network. Don't forget, we will be broadcasting tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour with Peripheral Visions, and that's going to be Antonia Batts. That being said, I just love doing what I'm doing. Can't imagine doing anything else this evening besides doing this program. And like I said, have fun doing what I'm doing. And with that being said, I am out of here, and peace.
Jesus fled. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never want to see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.